Okay, let's get going. Hour number three. Welcome back. It is Christmas season, and we are hoping to hear a man's voice here momentarily. Pete, are you there?
I'm here, and you know what I was just thinking about as I was waiting to come on? Is what? That almost a year ago, I did my last interview with you, January 25th.
Yeah, I think you're
almost
right.
Almost a year now, yeah. Jeff.
It is great to hear your voice, Pete. I mean it. What a Christmas present for me and for all the people who care about you and what's happening in your life. This is really a special, special thing.
You know, if you don't mind, before we get started here, I want to thank everyone, all of your listeners, everybody hearing my voice right now. I want to thank everybody for all of their support. It's been absolutely overwhelming, the number of letters that I get, the amount of support that I get from individuals that, and quite frankly, they don't have the power or the resources to really do anything because I'm going up against a huge machine. But
you are.
You know, their individual contribution and staying connected to me has helped me get through these very trying times, and I appreciate it.
Well, I think many of them know that, and I would urge all of you, and we'll make this known, how to write to Pete. Certainly hold a moment and send your thoughts his way. Those count just as much. This is a very difficult situation for not just Pete, but for others who are involved in this situation. Pete is a professional journalist. He's a broadcast journalist. He had a program on our network here for 2.5 years or something like that, and did, I think, as good a job as any pro could do, given the circumstances of the, let's talk about the Bundy Ranch, which is what he's in jail for right now. The Oregon situation ended up properly, appropriately, but tragically with the cold-blooded murder of Lavoie Finicum. And I want to send out, I'm sure I can speak for all of you, my warmest Christmas wishes of goodwill and hope for the Finicum family, who are without dad this year. And it's as wrong as it gets. Pete, you must spend a lot of time thinking about Mr. Finicum and what was done to him and your time to yourself there, which is obviously a great deal.
Oh, absolutely. And when I speak to anybody on the outside of these four walls, I remind everyone that Lavoie Finicum was with a group of people that were going to give a presentation, okay? And he was murdered led by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, set up an ambush of a bunch of people that were going to give a presentation.
They were trying to kill all of them, weren't they?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I think they were kind of shocked that people weren't, you know, because they were watching CNN too much, hearing about militants taking over the refuge. And they were shocked that these people weren't shooting guns or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were in a truck. And I think they were also shocked that more of them weren't dead. Somehow, those people survived what should have been a fatal encounter with a very malignant group of people. And I'll leave it at that right now. The most important thing is that we only lost one. We could have lost a lot more, but certainly for that family, the loss is everything. So to the Finicum family, our best wishes to you, all of you. Now, my friend, I hate to ask you the obvious question, how are you doing? Because it's so damn cliched, but how are you holding up? This has been just about how many months now of your life have you lost to this this corrupt system? 10 months? 11?
11 months now. I was arrested on January 26th of this year. And I'm literally looking at my, they call it discovery. That is all of the videos and all of the evidence I have on my hard drive. But I watched my arrest video from January 26th, and I'm literally stuck in that endless loop that began on January 26th. Now, considering that so much time has gone by, I also want to remind everybody that the federal government, okay, in my case, because I was critical of them, because we were all critical of them in protesting against their tyranny,
right.
They have basically incarcerated us because we were critical. We were exercising our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. They didn't like that, and for this regime, this old regime of the Obama administration being being in place, thank goodness that January 20th, those people are going to be gone, because we're yeah. all hostages of that old regime. And I'm so much looking forward to January 20th, at least going into, you know, a new
facility.
A new phase with the Trump administration. I think they're
exactly.
going to be much friendlier.
Yes, yes. Well, as you know, Pete, you've been sitting there watching this, probably synthesizing more data than most anyone, and appropriately. We were up at the edge of the abyss with this election. If it had gone the other way, I personally believe we would have been in World War III in a matter of months. I think that was a very logical thing to assume, given the policies of these people. Evil doesn't even come close to it. Now, you talk about you being incarcerated for exercising your First Amendment, your professional ethical responsibility to all of us as well, and yet look at what has happened in the last several months, the fake news revolution. You must, I don't know how much you can actually muster up a laugh, but my goodness, this whole fake news thing put together and proffered and forced in our faces by the very people who invented it, the mainstream media, and they're claiming we're guilty. Here you are in jail for doing an absolutely wonderful job professionally, and yet these people do the opposite, and where are they? Where are they?
Where are they? And you know, it's very alarming. I haven't had too many conversations about this with people on the outside, but very alarming to see how organizations like Facebook are going to be putting together mechanisms to throttle back what they deem to be not vetted or not checked. That tells me that when I come out of these four walls, that there's going to be that centralized entity that's going to control the flow of information.
The Ministry
of
Truth.
How I'm going to fit in.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
The Ministry of Truth, Facebook, a man,
yeah.
Zuckerberg, who controls the lives to one degree or another of over a billion people with his rather satanic organization. It's preposterous. And yet they're going for their second billion now, Pete.
It's incredible. There is a role for, you know, obviously independent media, alternative media, and I'm just thinking the best way to break away from these mainstream throttling organizations is to, you know, possibly, I was thinking about this the other day, maybe even have our own internet that's less controlled and a little bit more free. We seek freedom. We seek the freedom of flow
right.
of information and truth. You know, live streaming, you know, international news stories like I did back in January. The yeah. establishment doesn't like that at all. They don't like the people receiving the truth and receiving it freely.
No, they don't.
I'm just wondering how things are going to be when I get out.
Well, when you get out, we're going to make sure you have a platform and make sure that people have a right. It's a God-given right to find out what's really going on around them. Now, let me back up mm-hmm. a little bit to the Bundy Ranch. We had you on from that venue when that was going on. What is the main difference, Pete, between what the government is trying to do to you in Nevada and what the government tried to do to you in Oregon? What's the difference?
You know, I mean, I have to be very critical of the Nevada district. Okay, the federal government in the District of Nevada
right.
is almost a different country. From
wow.
the District of Oregon. Oregon,
wow.
I had, I have to be very honest with you, and it resulted in a dismissal. I had a high regard and respect for the judiciary, the process that I was going through. There were a lot of moving parts up there. There was a big protest that lasted a month up in Oregon. But ultimately, it resulted in acquittal of everyone, a dismissal by me. But I respected the judiciary. Nevada is one of the most corrupt judiciaries that I never ever thought that things could be as corrupt as they are here in Nevada. There is a railroading that's going on here in Nevada. There is a judge who is literally a Harry Reid crony. Her name is Judge Gloria M. Navarro,
right.
who was placed, handpicked by Harry Reid. The magistrate judge under her, Judge Peggy, I call her Ding Aline. Her name is Peggy Lean, L-E-E-N.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got it.
I call her Ding Aline
yeah.
because she is
yeah.
She's just an underling of Peggy Navarro. Now, what the main difference is that I was dismissed up in Oregon.
Right.
And I was innocent up there. I'm probably 10 times more innocent down here, but feeling as if I'm being railroaded.
Yeah.
Now, I, of course, through a lot of prayer, a lot of hope, and a lot of diligence as we're pursuing this case, we're going to get to a jury. That the jury will have to acquit me just based on the evidence. That we'll
of course, they do.
To them.
Yeah.
This system down here in Nevada is corrupt.
I know. I worked there for 2.5 years and finally had to leave. This goes back to the 1940s when the mob first moved in there and they created Las Vegas. It's been an owned and operated state ever since. Nothing of a surprise there. But to actually have to see it like you are, it must be horrifying. I mean, this is justice.
You know, I was indicted in Nevada February something. I was still up in Oregon. They brought me down for an arraignment.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I never attended one hearing until just about a week ago.
You're kidding. You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. This is like the Gestapo, the
Soviet Union,
Gestapo,
the Gulag.
Making up an indictment.
Yeah.
The Gulag, okay? And the judiciary behind the scenes operating in secrecy, doing rulings in favor of the government. And ultimately, guess what this entire event was about, Jeff? And we heard so many sensationalized stories from the media. They called it a stand-up. They called it all those things. But if you saw these videos of what took place there in front of the federal government as they pointed their guns at unarmed men and women, it was a protest. We have a bunch of protesters who are being held hostage by the federal government, the Obama administration.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm still appalled at this whole thing. You're a journalist. You really, the other people involved in this are every bit as innocent as you are, but you are a professional and you did a professional job there. That's all you were doing. Now, if you have, as a professional journalist, your own professional feelings about a case, a story, a news event, you're entitled. You're allowed. That's okay. You're not a machine. You're a human being. So, I mean, I don't know how this cannot be just tossed in Nevada. If there's any justice and you get a reasonable jury, this has got to end quickly and as quickly as we can in your favor. It just can't go any other way. This is putting the media on trial again.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Jeff, I'm going to have to call back and connect and reconnect.
I got it.
For the next session. But
yeah.
Let me tell you something. I was critical of the government. I was an advocacy journalist out there advocating for we the people and our constitutional rights. The government did not like that. The government wanted to kill a bunch of people on April 12th of 2014.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was against that. To speak out against them and say we're not going to allow another Waco to take place, to expose them for their brutality, and then to be incarcerated, should not be happening in the United States of America. And
no.
I'm going to be calling back in, Jeff.
Okay, Pete, go ahead. He's so right. If that's advocacy journalism, that's what journalism should be doing. And if you want to see advocacy journalism, just if you haven't been living in a cave for the last 3 months, look at the mainstream media. Look how they wound up the political election season. Utter advocacy, ambush, abusive journalism. I won't even call it journalism. It was faux journalism. It was a fraud. And the abuse that they hurled on not only Donald Trump, but those who supported him, the laughter, the arrogance, the elitism, that's utter advocacy journalism. But they're not on trial. You're going to see this is going to eventually get to a point where it will make national news. It has to. When Pete gets out, by the way, he will be back on the radio doing what he does so uniquely. And we hope to get him back on this network. And I'd love to be able to tell everyone that Pete is back on the air. I wish that would happen sooner, wherever he ends up. Because he was a very unique voice who, again, put his life on the line. He didn't just sit back and do the internet to search. All right, I hear noise there. Is that you, Pete?
No, Jeff. Hi, it's Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Jordan, I'm so sorry. Hi.
That's all right. Did they not let him call out again?
Right. He's tried to call like 4 times. And
all right. Well, they were listening.
It doesn't ring into me.
No, they were listening and they shut it down. But we did get him on.
Straight into voicemail.
And we did hear a strong, vibrant Pete Santilli. So he is hanging in there, and he made quite clear that you folks who have been supporting him could not be doing a more wonderful thing. He's so grateful to all that. So what you were able to hear what he was saying. What didn't he say that I had a lot of questions for him that you think we should mention right now?
You know, I think the biggest thing that they don't want the public to know is just how much corruption there is in this case. And they knew where Pete was going to go with it.
He's going right at him. He's going right after them.
He is. He is, and he intends to not let them get by with it. You know, these guys are working really hard on their case down here. And the more they throw at them, the more determined they get.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's just this whole incestuous reality here. Mm-hmm. With the court system and the police department and and Harry Reid and the judicial system and the sheriff's department and the BLM and the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice.
All of them.
All the way up
all
to Barack Obama.
FBI, yeah. Obama, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And Nevada, we've learned, you know, we've been doing a lot of work here. And we have learned, you know, who was connected to Harry Reid. The judge in this case was recommended by Harry Reid and appointed to the bench on his recommendation. Dan Bogdan, the attorney, the state attorney for Nevada, was recommended and appointed to the bench by Harry Reid on his recommendation. The governor, Brian Sandoval, was recommended by, you know, Harry Reid for the bench when he was a judge. He became a judge. And Gloria Navarro, the judge who's in the case now, is the one that took Brian Sandoval's place, and Brian Sandoval
wow.
is now the governor.
Wow.
All of these people are friends.
All in the family.
With
every
Harry
bit
Reid.
Of it. Yeah.
Every single bit of it. On down to the magistrate, Peggy Lean, who makes crucial decisions in this case. And, you know, every motion these guys put up, they turned down every single one of them. I think it's important for the people to know that here in Nevada, when Stephen Myrie, the prosecutor who walks in, who is also worked for the office of Dan Bogdan, who is the attorney, state attorney, who was appointed by, recommended by Harry Reid, He comes in with a team of about 30 lawyers working for the government full time
wow.
to send these guys to prison.
Wow.
It's pathetic. It's
yeah.
pathetic.
You know, when you think about Harry Reid and his control over that state, you also have to think about who is controlling Harry Reid. He's the visible hand. It's the hand behind his back who's really pulling the strings that you don't hear about. And I know who it is pretty much, but not by name, but just certainly by institution. This is all, it all goes back to the mob, way back. And the mob has morphed into a corporatocracy regime of crime, of, well, you name it, and they do it. And this is all about money. It's all about money.
Yes, it is. When I first got here, in Nevada, and I tell people this all the time, and I can't even express it enough, that when I first got here, everyone was telling me, from, you know, former police officers to former politicians, uh-huh. sitting politicians, they were all telling me that it's corrupt. They say the judges are corrupt.
Oh, it's totally.
You know, the attorneys are corrupt. Uh-huh. The prosecutor's office is corrupt. You know, and now I know why. Now I know why. Harry Reid has been in office for 30 years, Jeff.
Yeah.
30 years that man has been in office. Nobody should be allowed to accumulate that much power. He sent out his farewell email to all of his supporters. And, of course, you know, I have some people down here who sent it to me. And this email, he brags about changing the judicial system here in Nevada single-handedly. He brags about it.
Wow. Well, the guy is really just beneath contempt, and I can imagine. Having been there, like I said, for 2.5 years, I got a real good feel for what was going on there.
Right. Well, they're going to get a real good feel for, you know, what's going on this side, too. Because
you know what?
Just like in Oregon, you know, they had a lot of bravado. The prosecution, the government was overconfident. And, you know, they really thought that they were going to stick it to these guys. They really did. And in the end, when it was, when it was sent to the jury and the jury deliberated, they fell on the side of the people. And that's what we're praying for here, too. We're praying for the same exact miracle.
If your group is successful in seating a good jury, you really have nothing to worry about. The populism that swept Donald Trump in and got rid of the most malignant criminal element I've ever seen in government, I think anywhere, overt, is alive and well in Nevada. There's some great people in that state, and you get a good jury, and they're going to be damn sorry, those who are pushing this, that they ever did this. They should just leave it alone, drop it, and get on with life, onto their next scam, their next corruption, their next influence peddling, whatever it is they do. They're not going to win here. They're not going to win. This is going to eventually get to the point where it will be covered, and the damage done to them will be significant, to put it, I think, mildly. This is all bad. It is ugly, 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 ugly stuff.
It is so ugly that, right now, the paper down here, it is hard-pressed to cover it. They don't even, the media doesn't want to cover it. They don't want to talk about it on the radio. Everybody is scared to death.
They're fearful. Doesn't matter.
Going on.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always somebody running for office, and these very same people who came out to the Bundy Ranch, got camera time at Bundy Ranch, supported Clive and Bundy, all of these people in high-powered places, too. People like Rand Paul, for instance, and people like that were all supportive. Fox News, everybody's supportive of the Bundy Ranch. Now they're afraid because even the attorneys, to a certain degree here, the defense attorneys, are afraid to say too much, to speak out too much, because they have to live in this town when it's over. That's what I've heard. They have to live here. They run for office here. And they're all afraid. The only person who has shown no fear whatsoever is Michelle Fiore.
Wow. Well, praise where it's due, and that's great to hear, but I do understand what you're saying. I'm really surprised he was able to put together a team in that corrupt state at all, because they are all afraid that it could ruin their
career.
This could be a career breaker for many of them.
Right. I think the attorneys in Oregon, I have to give them kudos, because they looked at it like, yeah, it could be a career breaker, but it could be a career maker, too.
Yes.
And they went at it. They went at the government full force, and they made fools of them, because what they were doing was foolish.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to work too hard at it, really, I guess.
No.
Because it was a flawed indictment, and it's a flawed indictment here.
This trial coming up, where are we in the long, drawn-out process? And let me repeat before you answer. I would urge, again, anybody in government listening to this, and there are a lot of you, drop it. Get on with things. Whole new regime is coming in this country, a new government, a new spirit. Drop it. There's no gain in this. None. Zero. Nobody wins. Okay, go ahead, Deb. Where are we in this whole ordeal?
Well, right now, we're all just kind of spinning our wheels. Every time a motion is set forward, it gets turned down. It gets a big red no put on it every single time. The bias here is just unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
But moving forward, they put these guys they split them all up into three tiers. The first tier being the leaders, the second tier being, you know, the so-called gunmen, followers, and then the third tier, the gunmen. So they've decided, the prosecution, or the judge has decided, she thinks that the third tier should be tried first. Those that are less culpable, you know, bound to get a lesser sentence, not considered a leader, they should go first. So that trial starts on February the 6th, and then Pete's tier, which is considered the leader tier, the worst of the worst, they will be going sometime probably in April/May. He's going to be in jail at least until June, July.
Well, they will have stolen a year and a half of his life minimum, just to get to the point in this so-called judicial equality of where he will have to face jail or acquittal, and he can walk.
Yes.
This is so repugnant to the American way. Has there been an effort made to separate him out as a journalist and get him out of this group? What happened with that?
They refuse to do it. They refuse to do it because they are doing their best to put Pete in the light of someone who planned the whole thing.
A conspirator. I get it.
Yeah. A lead conspirator at that. That he conspired with Cliven Bundy, Ammon Bundy, Brian Bundy, and everybody else to keep the BLM from doing their job. And that is so far from the truth. This case has been a civil rights issue from the very beginning. Nobody would have stepped a foot in Bunkerville, Nevada, had the BLM not overreached and overstepped their boundaries within the United States Constitution. It's laid out clearly. And they had no arresting powers, and they were arresting people. They had no arresting power. They had none. And they were beating people up, taking people's property, for pulling over on the side of the road and getting out of their vehicles. You know, these people are strong people. They don't call Nevada battle-born for nothing. You know, these are strong people.
Not only that, but the BLM was flying around in at least one helicopter shooting Cliven Bundy's cattle to death.
He was, and they lied about it. People could hear the copters flying around. They could hear gunshots.
Sure.
They could see the snipers that were trained on everybody. You know, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Before one protester, before Pete Santilli ever stepped foot on the dirt in Nevada, they were brutalizing these people. They were intimidating them.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were shoving them into free speech areas that weren't constitutional and they had no right to set up, and threatening to arrest anybody.
Well, this was all private property, too, wasn't it, Deb?
Yes.
All of it.
Cliven Bundy never stepped foot off of private property. He never did.
Wow.
Even in the end, he never stepped foot off of his own property. Nobody ever went to the BLM and said, stop impounding these cattle. It was a legal protest. It was a constitutional protest on private property, and the BLM didn't like it. And when Pete got there, he told the truth, and he spoke poorly of them. He was critical of them, and that's why he's in jail right now. And they will send him to prison for 94 years for speaking the truth.
Oh,
and
my God.
That's what's happening
in the United States of America. That's what potentially he's facing?
Yes. 94 years,
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Deb, I talked to him before he went to Bundy Ranch. Did you find, you got the program, right, that we did?
Yes.
Okay. Is that going to be of any help?
It will be, yes.
He was so good. He was such a professional.
He's always a professional.
I know. I can't believe this. I can't. No jury of honest men and women will ever convict in this trial. It just can't happen unless they're threatened, coerced, or worse. I can't see it. I cannot see it. So why go through this? Just drop it. Get on with it. A new government is coming in, a new Americanism. Make America great again is not what's happening in Nevada, period.
Uh-huh. Right. We dug up an old interview that was done by Joe Lombardo, who is now the sheriff, but he was the undersheriff at the time.
Uh-huh.
And a month or so after the, maybe it was just weeks after the Bundy Ranch protest, he was on a talk show, and they asked him point blank, why don't you go up there and just tell the militia to leave? And you know what he said? This man who is now the sheriff said, I can't do that. Why? Because they're not doing anything wrong. I would be violating their constitutional rights if I went up there and told them to leave private property.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that still holds true. And they're going to have a hard time getting around that. They're going to have a hard time doing
it. Well, there's one of your witnesses right there, obviously, and man with impeccable credentials. This is all wrong. You see, it's really not even a good argument that they're making. It's stupid.
Yeah, it really is. We're in the belief that they're going to try to say that the crime was committed before the standoff, that there was, that these guys tried, that they conspired before,
It's garbage. It's garbage. It's private property.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what people say on private property. It's protected under the Constitution. The government, the government went on to private property.
Mm-hmm.
And what the government did, there should be a suit brought against the government. It's all backwards, completely backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they told these people that they weren't allowed to protest, outside of an area that the BLM put up, which is completely unconstitutional.
Right.
The governor of Nevada, Brian Sandoval, made them take it down and told them they can't do that. They're
mm-hmm.
shoving people's faces in the dirt. They got snipers on everybody.
I remember.
They're flying helicopters around.
Yeah.
Seriously, how far was the BLM willing to go? How far were they willing to go? And the people in the United States of America, when they saw them body slam an elderly woman, when they saw them tase a man four times, and train dogs on a pregnant girl, and threaten with AR-15s, that's probably about as much as the American people could take. This didn't just happen out of nowhere. This has been happening for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the Western states, they got tired of it. They got tired of it, and it resonated with the people.
Well,
it resonated with Fox News, obviously. They carried it every single night. And now they want to cry foul.
Well, a lot of people realize...
And they want to send these guys to jail.
That's right. A lot of people realize that this could happen to them if this isn't stopped. It's got to be stopped.
It could happen to anybody, Jeff.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to wish Pete a Merry Christmas, and please do that for me. And
I will let him know.
Let's get him back on here after the holidays, whenever you can arrange it. I'm not going to give mm-hmm. him more than one 15-minute shot, probably, to talk, but we got that out tonight, thanks to you and thanks to Pete. Give him my best, and we did our best. And Merry Christmas to you, Deb, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for everything you do for us.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Night. Merry Christmas, Jeff.
Okay. All right, there we go. There's your update with Pete. We got to talk to him for 15 minutes, and he sounds strong. This is so wrong, what's going on there. They have nothing to stand on. Nothing. All right. Think good thoughts, and we'll keep you posted. And we will be back tomorrow night.